Numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Tuesday edition of A Numbers Game here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown in for Gil Alexander again here on a Tuesday. Sorry, everybody.
Sorry.
I'm here for two more days as well. So, yeah, it's, you know, sorry if you didn't like what you saw yesterday. Kelly Bidlin, of course, on the desk with me as always. We'll have Mark Borchard join us a little bit later, talk some baseball. Jake Hahn, I hadn't seen Jake Hahn in a while. I'm glad to have Jake Hahn here.
Big week for Jake. Yeah. Stanley Cup final. We got the RBC.
He gets to shine.
Oh, he gets to shine. He even asked me, he was like, oh, we could talk a little golf too if you want. And I was like, Jake, why do you think I'm hitting you up? Canadian Open.
You know what?
You.
He's probably played the course or something.
He probably has.
You know? So we're going to get some inside info from Jake Hahn. Drew Dinsick going to join us as well. We'll talk a little tennis. We'll talk a little NBA. Who knows what else we're going to talk with Drew Dinsick. He can talk about just about anything, and we'll hit on some NFL awards markets that are going on out there as well. I know it's not Gil on the desk, but if you guys want to tweet us, it is at Matt Brown M2. It is at Kelly Bidlin. That is the EY version of Kelly. So let us know what's on your mind for sure. As we found out yesterday, there were some people out there defending the Android. That's what we got. I got some even after we went off air.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Nah, there's always the diehards. You're going to get that. Yeah. You're going to get that from anybody.
I mean, it's the full-on, like, I'm not giving in to your propaganda. And they also trying to get people to switch to Apple.
They know exactly what they're doing. They love being that guy. And for every group of friends, family, people, whatever, there's always one. And they like it. They like being that guy.
We'll get into what we saw last night. But first, guys, something that does affect each and every one of us, even though it's not a bet that we're going to be making today, it is a bet that you're going to be making in the future. And lawmakers in the middle of the night go and pass a bill, and it's going to be heading to Governor J.B. Pritzker's desk, which he is expected to actually sign this bill, in which it is going to add a 25-cent tax to every single sports bet made in the state of Illinois, up to $20 million in wagers. And then when you go beyond that threshold of $20 million, it is going to be a 50-cent tax on every wager after that. And what does that mean to you and me and to everybody out there? Well, if you're a low roller, which, by the way, that is 99.9% of the bettors out there. I know we like to talk about all of the four-figure, five-figure, six-figure bets that are out there. The majority of bettors are 10, 20, $30 bettors out there. And what that means to you is fewer promotions, fewer boosts, maybe those odds that we look at the same game parlays that we know don't pay out exactly at true odds are going to get a little bit worse in all of that. All of this is going to get passed along to us, the consumer. For you high rollers out there, what does that mean? Well, probably the odds are going to get worse. The hold is going to get bigger. All of the different things that we don't like as sports bettors, it's going to come down and trickle down to all of us. And the thing is, in all of this, is the reason that we have been advocating for a long time. And by the way, I host a business podcast on the business of sports betting in the casino industry in general, and I have for several years. And we've been championing taking this out of the offshore, taking this out of the bookies' hands, getting this out of the black market, and getting it into a regulated and legalized form of betting. And the thing is, Kelly, is what we're doing now is just pushing people back offshore with all of these things that don't make any sense whatsoever. They didn't do the math. Sports betting is a very slim margin business as it is. These guys, not only are they operating on small margins, you've got to remember, you're paying licensing fees to get a license in these states. You are then paying taxes on all of the stuff that goes along with all of that. There are a ton of expenses that these businesses have to endure that you do not have to for the offshores and, of course, for the bookies who are doing this and all of that. And so keep writing letters. Keep sending emails. Keep calling. Leave voicemails. Send stuff on social media. It does matter. And if you live outside of Illinois, don't think that this doesn't affect you either, because we have seen this in states. Copycat stuff go on. We see states pass a bill. The tax rate is X. They revisit that a year later. They raise the taxes. Well, guess what state X, Y, and Z does? They revisit it and they start talking about raising the taxes as well. And so if you don't think that we're going to be listening to other states talk about putting a tax on every single wager that you and I make moving forward in the state that you live in, you're crazy, because that is what happens in all of this. And so I know it feels like it's a futile effort, that you don't go in and that no one listens to you and they don't respond to you and they don't, it doesn't matter. Keep calling, keep writing, send stuff on social media, do whatever you can, because we cannot cripple this industry while it is still trying to get going here, Kelly. Yep. And that's the thing. Like, I know it feels like we've been doing this for a long time. We're still in the infancy of this industry right now. And if we start putting all of these ridiculous tax burdens on these casinos and sports books, they're not going to be able to function. And we're going to see less competition. We're going to see businesses go out of business. You're not going to get the people where you have you guys out there that have 12 different books. If this goes nationwide, if this happens, you're going to be betting on three books again. Like, there's going to be consolidation. People are going to figure that it's not worth their time. And for us as a consumer, this is only bad for us.
Yeah, and from the sportsbook's perspective, there's only so much they can do until the price starts getting passed down to the customer, right? Yeah. And you're going to start paying it, and every game that you bet, then every future, every same game parlay that you end up betting. And I think you hit on well with we're still in the infancy. Everybody's still trying to figure out how to handle this state to state and the different problems that have arisen throughout the early stages. I think were surprising to some, not as surprising to others, but this has been maybe the most concerning one to me, Matt, is if we start, you see one state having to hike up prices and then everybody, like you said, a bunch of other states are going to say, well, if I can make that much more money with copying the way these guys are doing it, why aren't we doing that? If you do that and it starts elevating the price for the customer to get involved in legalized sports betting, it's just going to continue to force people to look other places to bet. And then we're right back to square one, right? You're right back to people betting offshore, betting with bookies. This is the whole purpose of why we legalized sports betting in the United States in the first place. So it has not been, none of it's been perfect out of the gates, but these
laws that get put in that make no rhyme or reason, they didn't think through, that they don't understand how bad it is for their constituents, how bad it is for their state, how bad it is for the consumer. This is what drives me crazy. But the thing is, Kelly, we cannot take it for granted. It's going to happen. Like, it will be brought up. I promise you. Like, we will be talking about this in a few months of it getting brought up in another state and getting brought up in another state. And someone's going to write a bill and someone's going to back that bill. It's going to happen. And so we have to be vocal. I know it seems like they don't listen to us. Mm-hmm. Trust me. I have a very strong take on daylight savings time. I wrote a letter to every single one of our state senators about this. I've not gotten one response. But, I mean, the point is I at least wrote the letter. I at least made the voice note. Someone read something somewhere along the way. It might have been an intern. It might have been whatever. But at least the voice was – so social media, calls, voicemails, emails, letters, physical letters, all the stuff you can do. But make sure that this doesn't happen across the rest of the states. And hopefully – some pressure on Pritzker and he doesn't end up signing this thing if you guys continue in Illinois to make your voices heard out there.
Yep, I like it. I like it. Well said.
All right, guys. So getting into the actual sports that we did see, that does affect this sport. This is a huge, in the sports betting industry in general.
Everything's minus 115 both sides these days. Yeah. Like, that stuff's just going to continue if these types of things continue state to state.
So we did see some of the national seeds advance last night, a scare for LSU, who went in as high as minus 2,500, you found?
Yeah.
You found minus 2,500 in that. They were trailing early, well into the middle of that game, actually. Do end up winning 10-6 there in Baton Rouge, so they will advance and move on to a super regional. We did lose, by the way, good call on our Benny Wilson that was on yesterday, as not only did Murray State cover, they eliminated Ole Miss. They won outright in that game, Kelly Bidlin. So Ole Miss headed packing. Southern Miss, another national seed, not advancing as well. If you look on your screen, if you are a VSiN Pro subscriber or watching this on YouTube TV, you can see we do have North Carolina and Auburn and Arkansas and LSU and Oregon State, all national seeds that do advance, UCLA and Tennessee as well, Florida State sitting there at the number 9, but you'd have Louisville, Miami came in, both unseeded. Arizona advances. You see West Virginia's going to take on LSU down there in Baton Rouge. Duke and Murray State, UTSA, and UCLA. So there are some familiar names on there, Kelly, but hey, look, we got a couple of little Cinderella stories, perhaps.
Yeah, I don't know why my Noles had to draw Oregon State, who's by my rough history and collection, Matt, Oregon State's been in the College World Series roughly 19 out of the past 20 years. So, Florida State had to draw Oregon State. That's going to be one of the tougher matchups in the Super Regionals. But yeah, there's some There's some fun fun teams here that could make it to Omaha, and I know we got a bunch of shows going out there next week. It could be some fun matchups down there at Omaha.
Yeah, baseball news from yesterday, and if we're going to talk injury news and stuff that could affect things moving forward. So Devin Williams had lost the closer role. Luke Weaver had taken over the closer role there for the Yankees. He had been lights out. I'm talking absolutely fantastic, unhittable for the Yankees. Well, they're going to have to find and see if Devin Williams can be unhittable yet again like he was for several seasons before he got into the Bronx, because Luke Weaver going to miss 4 to 6 weeks with a hamstring injury, likely to put Devin Williams back in that high leverage role there, Kelly. Again, one that he lost early on in the season because he was absolutely getting shelled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, interested to see. I know that was a popular selection too, with the Yankees for most wins in June. Yeah, that was one that I was kind of circling in on. Glad I didn't end up betting it. But yeah, this is the type of stuff that impacts that right away, right? You get a little bit longer. You make these month-long bets. They're fun for short term, but the Yankees get to look at this a little bit of, oh, well, we have a little bit of time long term to figure out this situation. But if you've got bets on him for a month, not ideal.
Yeah, Mike Trout, welcome back from the IL. He's been absolutely destroying the ball since he got back from the IL. It's never been whether Mike Trout can hit or not. It's always just been whether he can stay on the field. He does hit his 10th home run last night. And with that, I might add, moves halfway. I got 20 and a half home runs on Trout preseason.
Oh, I bet it too, but I bet it at like 23 and a half. Yeah. I think it's where it was.
It's a lock as long as he can just stay
on the field. As long as he can stay on the field.
It's an absolute lock. It almost felt like it was free money for us. We'll talk some NBA when we come back, see what we think about some of these other markets out there. And I got a few baseball bets as well. See if we can talk you into maybe wanting to tail and get those into the account. One for one yesterday.
There you go.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game here on Tuesday. Matt Brown in for Gil Alexander as we roll through some of the sports news. Of course, sovereignty, Kelly, is going to be going. We know that and journalism going to be going as well. So we're seeing a 2-1 morning line on sovereignty, a 8-5 morning line on journalism. So a fun, even though we don't have a triple crown race, a triple crown threat here, we do have two horses that have won the first two races going at it. So that adds a little bit, right?
Should be intrigue. Yeah, should be fun. I'm actually looking forward to hearing what Drew has to say about it later, because I think he, with how short those prices were with those top two, is actually looking at someone down the board. So we'll have to talk to him about that one. Yeah,
I put in a future bet that I was, I'll just say, you know, was not mine. One Mike Somich did say, like, hey, listen, there's a chance that, and I forget which horse he said, what isn't going to run. This thing might only be like six horses. Yeah. If that's the case, Caesars is putting up fixed odds futures prices.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, so if you bet this now and this field is only six horses, it's going to be far worse of a number. I got to figure out which horse I bet.
Was it Baeza?
Yes.
Okay. Mike was telling us that last week as well. So I think that was a common.
Are you looking at the lines right now?
I'm looking
at,
but yeah, it's 4-1 right now. So he's right.
Okay. So
he was getting six to one.
I have 550, I think.
Okay. Yeah. When he brought it up with us last week, and I think Drew brought up something similar on one of his own pods, same thing, getting in front of the move on Baeza.
Yeah. So I have 550, I think it is, with all of that. Of course, you know, we talk a ton of golf. Yesterday, an interesting day in golf, as there's a bunch of people that were not qualified for the U.S. Open. Big name pros that went out there and tried to get it done. Some did. Cam Young, Emiliano Grillo, Mark Leishman, Bud Cauley, they all go and win qualifiers across the country. Two that did not were Ricky Fowler and Max Homa. Then you get this weird story that Max Homa carried his bag for 36 holes because him and his caddy had a breakup. And I'm like, hold on. You're a multimillionaire. You could just Happy Gilmore that and go to someone in the crowd and be like, hey, man, you want to make $200? Like, $200, they come and they at least care. they're not going to give you advice, but at least you don't have to lug your clubs. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. just give somebody a couple Benjis and then, like, you know, focus on trying to qualify for the US Open.
Look, man, we all like Max Homa. You and I have made some money betting on him.
Quirky guy, I get, you know, so whatever.
Yeah, but we made some money betting on him on his rise up, man. There's a lot going on in that head right now, that's for sure. I mean, I saw a couple of the quotes even from him where it was like it made it sound like he was, I don't want to say punishing himself, but like wanted him to be by himself and left alone while he was concentrating through that. So he's battling some things right now, man. And it stinks because he's one of the better personalities I think that we have on the PGA Tour. PGA Tour could always need star players to play well. He's just not there right now.
Sabalenka and Iga Swiatek both advance to the semis in straight sets. So they both move on here. This morning, of course, we have Paul and Alcaraz still yet to come. We'll talk to Drew about that one as well. I think we still have a few hours until that one goes.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, that is, I'm seeing, you know, scheduled time, 11:15 a.m. Pacific time, so 2:15 Eastern, and then Musetti and Tiafo in action right now. Musetti up a set. It took the first set 6-2, just starting seconds.
Oh, that is good for me. I have an under 38.5 games in that one.
Oh, okay.
So that's a good start. The 6-2 is a good start for me on the under 38.5 games. All right, Kelly, let's talk some NBA here, and let's see if there's anything that you have thought about overnight that maybe leads you to want to bet any of these other markets. Guys, of course, we know. Massive, massive favorite out there in the Oklahoma City Thunder. Rightfully so, in my opinion, in my humble opinion here. Still sitting at minus 700 over at DraftKings. Pacers still at plus 500 over at DraftKings as well. But there are other markets we could look at.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I'll just circle back. I still think if you have the bankroll, I still think the series. I think it's a little cheap. Anything under minus 700, I think you're getting a little bit of a discount on the Thunder. Keep in mind, they were around the same price when they played the Denver Nuggets. So it really depends on how you compare Pacers to the Nuggets with that series price. I did go in. I laid 9 in game 1. I'm wondering where this is going to bounce around between the next couple days, but 9 was good enough for me. It's not going to be any huge betting for me throughout this series because they do have some futures tickets on the Thunder I'm hoping to get home. But did lay 9 game 1. We talked about it yesterday. I still think, and I was looking at the board out here at Circa before the show, Matt, I think if you're looking at other ways I'd recommend betting this if you're looking for the series. We talked about the game 1 in the series, betting that double result yesterday. I think under minus 300, I think that's a good bet to get involved. And then shop around. I think Circa has a little bit better price on this than most books out there. But the -1.5 games, you're looking about the same price on that too. I'd be a little bit more leery of laying 2.5. I know you're seeing that about minus 130, but you can lay a game and a half and get around that same minus 275-ish price. I think that's a way you could go too if you're looking at this series. But yes, I laid 9 game 1. I have them also 4-1 result. Again, if you have DraftKings available to you, that plus 250 is by far the best price I've seen out there. The best price in Vegas on that is plus 215. That I've seen so far. So played that. But if you're looking for other ways to attack the series, that's the way I'd go about it.
You know, they have all these like exotic markets out there. You start like looking around, and I know people are going to bet them, but it's just a little bit different. I think whenever you look at this series in general, we saw some big comeback wins, Kelly, obviously, throughout the course of the playoffs so far. So they're allowing you to bet these comeback win markets, which are, does any team come back from a 20-point deficit, a 25-point deficit, or a 30-point deficit?
Okay.
At +425, 10-1, and then 22-1. Like, here's the thing. Oklahoma City plays too good of a defense to ever get down 30. Unless they just wave the white flag.
Right, yeah.
Like, unless they just pull everyone. But then at that point, they're not coming back from being down 30. So, like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I mean, I'd hate to say it. I actually think there's a better chance of the Pacers pulling off one of those comebacks just because we've at least kind of seen it out of them already this playoffs. And we've seen some of their shooters just get nuclear white hot. So, but at those prices, no interest whatsoever.
The other interesting thing, market that I guess, you know, I should have known that these markets exist, but it's just you start thumbing around and you're like, oh, okay, that market makes sense. Have you seen these correct score after game X markets?
Yeah.
Those are actually pretty cool.
I got close on a couple.
Those are pretty cool.
Yeah, those are pretty cool.
You know, like, okay, so for example, so they played 3 games, right? You can guess the exact score of the series after game three. So you could say that the Thunder are going to be up 2-1. You actually get plus 120 on that. You could say that the Thunder are going to be up 3-0. You get plus 155 on that. Do you think the Pacers could actually be up 2-1 after game three, plus 425? And holy mackerel, if the Pacers are up 3-0 after three games, Kelly, 28-1.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Save your money.
I did look at those because I think there is I'm slightly interested in the Thunder 2-1. There's other shops, I can't remember who's got what posted, but there's also, like, there was the after four games, Thunder 3-1. That was kind of interesting to me. The three after three games, Thunder 2-1. That's where I'd go, if anything. I think if the Pacers take a game, it's probably in that game three, maybe game four when they come back home. I wouldn't hate a bet on those.
The other interesting one is, again, you could sit there and try to figure out all different ways that this series plays out, and it could play into your narrative, right? So there's also the undefeated at home.
Yeah.
And so if you think the Thunder are so good at home, right? The Thunder are so good at home. Maybe they drop one on the road, like you said, Kelly, but like they are not going to lose at home. It takes that minus 700 all the way down to minus 120.
Mm-hmm.
So the Thunder undefeated at home goes all the way down to minus 120.
Yeah, I like that one too. These are all ones, like, I was going through
just,
all this
just
stuff
just ways
too.
To get exposure the Thunder if you don't want to lay the minus 700. Because again, I on a text chain with buddies back home are like, I really like the Thunder, but there's just no, I mean, like, I don't have a bankroll to bet $700 to 100, you know?
Yeah, I think you've picked a couple of the ones that, like you said, as I was just kind of scanning through stuff, I'm like, that's not bad. Yeah. I think the after 3-2-1, or yes, the Thunder undefeated at home, only minus 120, that's pretty good.
Because,
I mean, remember, this is we talked a lot about yesterday, but what this... Hey, this Thunder team's been incredible. They've been incredible at home all season long, but specifically what they're doing in the playoffs, they are clearly much more comfortable at home. 8-1 through the course of the playoffs, and the net rating those nine games is 24.7. That is an absurd net rating in those nine games that they're doing at home. So they are looking like a much different team home versus away. So just another thing. I think this Thunder team is too much for the Pacers overall in general, but... just another reason, if you are looking at a bet like that, to push you in that direction.
I know you guys start your morning over at VSiN.com, as it is anyway, but if you are driving along and you did not head to VSiN.com today, well, head on over there. What you can find is Greg Peterson's Major League Baseball bets today. You'll see Steve Mackinnon's bullpen systems update. You can see what we're talking about with this Pacers and Thunder series. Everybody's got their opinion there on that one. Samich comes in and talks some Belmont with you over there. Zach Cohen on the French Open. Wes Reynolds will be having his Canadian Open preview up as well. If you're not a VSiN Pro subscriber, VSiN.com/subscribe, you can dip your toe in for as little as $9.99 for the first month. So give it a whirl over there at VSiN.com and take in all the great work that everyone's doing.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game here on VSiN, the sports betting network. Thank you for being with us here on this fine Tuesday morning, be it channel 158 over on SiriusXM, YouTube TV, our very own VSiN Watch app, or terrestrial stations across this great country of ours. Matt Brown and Kelly Bidlin here on the desk at the world's largest sports book in Las Vegas, in which... you know, it's always interesting to me.
Plenty of seats available.
This time of morning. When you do see, though, there are the couple of people who are just kind of out there like, you know.
Oh, I love it. Are you kidding me? Yeah,
I'll take in whatever is on the screen. I don't even care.
You got the couple guys with their laptops and coffee, and they're getting to work on their card for the day. I respect it. Get a little. You got a good tennis match going on. Get all that.
Yeah, they're just like, you know what? I have nothing better to do.
That's right.
I'm going to walk, get me a coffee at the Jackpots, and come and sit down and see what action's happening out here at the sports book. Speaking of action, let's get to the Major League Baseball side of things here on the program. Pro bettor Mark Borchard now joining us, at Base Winner over on the Twitter machine. Mark, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. You know, that's like really good lead in, Matt, because just this card is like pretty a big card for me today. I love the Tuesday card. I love Tuesdays and Fridays in Major League Baseball. It's my favorite. Those are my favorite days of the week, Matt.
Well, happy Paul Skeens Day to you, if you celebrate. I don't know if you do celebrate, but Paul Skeens going up against Lance McCullers in our first pitch of the day, in which the Pirates find themselves. This is like anytime Skeens is on the mound there, Mario, the Pirates find themselves minus 162, at least over at DraftKings, plus 136 for McCullers there in the Astros, 7.5 the total. McCullers finding at least a little bit of success here as he's come off the IL for what seems like, you know, forever now. And, you know, listen, he's career low, I think, from a velo standpoint with all of that. But he's talked about how he's just pitching a little bit more than he used to in the past. That said, a tough matchup going up against Skeens. It doesn't really matter how good you pitch sometimes going up against Skeens, as we've seen a couple different times this season.
Yeah, you know, that's another good lead-in. And we didn't even talk before the show, Matt. You're on fire. I don't know. The voice of sports betting, he may need to get his ass back into the studio. You're gonna take over from him. But speaking of Pittsburgh, so this is – I played this game on the first five, and I think that this is relevant. I've got the full game priced at minus 191, but the first five priced at, like, minus 250. And I think that makes sense. I tell you, for me – It makes a lot of sense that I don't have to endure the last part of the Pittsburgh bullpen watching them play. And I actually did a prop parlay. Skeens with who's the other guy that I put in there? Dollander from Colorado. Dollander, and I bought down the strikeout. So I went Dollander 3.5 Ks, over 3.5 Ks, with Skeens over 5.5 Ks. So those are actually two plays from one game that you can get involved with. But I played this full game Skeens at home 2 weeks ago, and it was the worst experience dealing with this Pittsburgh bullpen.
Did you get Bednard? Is that what happened?
No, I didn't. You know, they won. They ended up winning in extra innings. But I mean, by the grace of God, because, you know, they've got their number five batter. His name is Canario. And I've never seen a guy hold a bat like this. He puts it out in front, like splits his eyes with the handle and puts it out like a lightsaber, like he's Obi-Wan Kenobi. So I call him Obi-Wan Canario. And anyway, I can't deal with it. Hopefully, you know, Skeens can shut this team down. This could be an advantage push. It could be 0-0 after first five. So, you can't ignore how good Skeens is. He's my base winner number two. So I played him first five.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I think people were wondering if he was going to be able to replicate this year what he was doing last year. And you kind of see, I mean, he's going to be just, it seems like, a mid twos, high twos ERA type guy with a very low whip. And seems like they've not figured out how to get to Paul Skeens. One of the games you are looking at as well is this Dodgers and Mets game. We'll roll down here to this evening. That's going to be 10:10 Eastern, 7:10 Pacific. Tyler McGill versus Clayton Kershaw. Minus 142 Dodgers at home, plus 120 Mets on the road as dogs. A flat 9 is our total. How are you looking at this one?
Yeah, I think the wrong team's favored here. I mean, Kershaw just really hasn't shown much since he's returned. You know, on my site, I have a starting pitcher base winner ERA, and it's a fancy name. It uses a little bit different than XFIP, but it's pretty much similar. Strikeout percentage, walk percentage, ground ball percentage, and using those metrics, Kershaw's base winner ERA, and he's pitched 11 innings, so there's a sample size thing there, but 6.35. And then if you look at Tyler McGill, his base winner ERA, a lot more innings, 53.2 innings, is 3.54. So that's close to three runs on the starting pitchers. I do think that the Dodgers offense is a little bit better than the Mets. I've got the Dodgers offense best in baseball, 25% better than an average lineup, but the Mets are fifth in baseball, 12% better than an average lineup. So I think that they can compete. I think the bullpen for the Mets is a little bit better than the Dodgers. So I played a full game Mets plus I got 138 yesterday. I think it's gone down a little bit, Matt.
Talking to Mark Borchard, and we got another game here, 7:10 Eastern, Brewers and the Reds. This is Freddie Peralta and Hunter Green. You can get the Reds at home with behind Green at minus 130, favorites somewhere in that realm, plus 110-ish on the Brewers on the road as dogs. 8.5 are total. What you looking at in this one?
Yeah, I like Cincinnati here. I really think that, it's gone up. It was minus 116 yesterday on the overnights, but it's even at minus 130, it's a good price. I think it should be closer to minus 200. And you say, why base winner? Well, if you look at the base winner ERA for Green, it's 2.94 versus Peralta. And a lot of people like Peralta. I'm not one of them. He's actually a little bit worse than average from a projected ERA standpoint, 4.17. And I think that this Reds team has a little bit better offense than the Brewers by my numbers. They're about mid-pack by my numbers. And the Brewers, I don't have rated very good versus right-handed pitchers, Matt.
The one game, you said I could ask you about a game that I am looking at, and I shouldn't say the looking at. It's already in the account. Just curious as to what you think about this Diamondbacks and Braves game with Zach Gallen and Spencer Strider. It's sitting at 8.5. I played the over on 8.5. I think we are getting maybe this priced a little bit to what Gallen and Strider used to be as opposed to what Gallen and Strider are maybe present day. You talk about the expecteds that you saw with some of these other guys. Gallen is, you know, even though his surface stats have him as, you know, a 5-plus ERA guy, it's still like mid-4s on the expecteds as it is anyway. Strider down in velocity and just a two-pitch guy. And so when you're down in velocity and you're only a two-pitch guy, you've seen what's happened to him so far. So I actually think there could be some runs here in this one. Tell me that I am off base here.
No, I think that that's a really good way to handicap, and it kind of brings up a good handicapping philosophy. Are you looking at the last, how many games are you looking at? If you're looking at just this year's data, you're absolutely correct. They're both worse than average. Gallen, far worse than average. And so you got that going for you with the over. And then plus, you know, this Diamondbacks team, I'm still high on their offense. I've got them, you talked about the Dodgers being first in baseball. I've got the Diamondbacks offense second in baseball. And I've got the Braves eighth in baseball from an offensive standpoint. And there's really not much to like. I'm not that high on either bullpen. But I think you can get some runs late in that game too, Matt. So I think that's a really good way to handicap that. You might be taking advantage of people's thoughts on how the pitcher is rather than how what they've displayed so far from a talent basis.
Yeah, Mark, I know you were high on this Diamondbacks team heading into the season. Corbin Burns exited the other day. Where are you at right now with the Diamondbacks going forward and then anybody else in the NL West that you think can make some noise?
Yeah, that was a really tough thing that happened to Corbin the other day, and they're still kind of waiting to see what's going on with him. He had an MRI yesterday. So that's a big deal. And I think that was a really good get for the Diamondbacks prior to the season. But assuming that he's going to pitch, let's say he'll be out a month, I still think the Diamondbacks have maybe a 12% chance to win that division, believe it or not. And the Dodgers, I think for me, probably closer to 75%. So for me, it's always been based on my numbers between these two teams. The Corbin Burns thing, it'll be a huge loss. I really hope he's okay. He's a great guy and a great pitcher. And I'm kind of waiting with bated breath, Kelly, to see what happens with that MRI.
He is Mark Borchard, pro baseball better at Base Winner over on the Twitter machine. Mark, thanks for the time and good luck today.
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it.
Always fun to at least get a little bit of a thumbs up there on the bet that you have in your account.
Oh, yes. You know, always good to have that.
Little bit of a thumbs up there on that one. Guys, EdgeBoost, first ever bank account built for bettors. It's insured. All gambling transactions are approved. No usage fees, no minimums. You can earn cash back rewards. You get 100% approval for all betting deposits as well. Now go in. EdgeBoost.bet is the website. Use the promo code ANG. And if you deposit $25, EdgeBoost is going to match that $25 deposit. So edgeboost.bet, promo code ANG, deposit $25. And when you do, EdgeBoost will match that $25 deposit. When we come back, we'll check in on, there is some live action here early morning because we're playing over at Roland Garros and look at some baseball of my betting acumen here at Kelly.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game here on VSiN, the sports betting network. Matt Brown in for Gil Alexander. I got the thumbs up on a baseball bet that I had from a professional Major League Baseball bettor, Kelly Bidlin. So
that's right. We
rocking and rolling there. I know there was more to talk about.
You'll have to
get in on his Cy Young thoughts at another time.
I screwed up. Next week we'll have to go a little bit deeper with Mark on Cy Young.
When we kicked it over to you, you were supposed to go Cy Young, and instead you just followed up on the Diamondbacks.
Well, he's been very high on the Diamondbacks all year, so I wanted to follow that up, and
I'm just peeling the curtain back for all the people that like to listen on a daily basis in here, and then when Kelly does something that he's not supposed to do.
Kelly screwed up once again. What else is new?
So what we're going to do. I have it written down right here. I could have steered him towards Cy Young. Instead, we flip it over to Kelly. Hey, I'm going to steer him towards Cy. Instead, talk Diamondbacks through the end of the segment.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
It is what it is. It is what we got more nuggets about the Diamondbacks.
That's right.
With all of that. That being said, the Burns news is bad. The bullpen situation for them is at least a little bit interesting as well. I mean, they were going with Shelby Miller for a while. These bullpens, by the way, it is crazy now how quick. If you don't have one of these super elite closers, and actually in the Yankees case, even if you do, you have like three bad outings. And everyone starts screaming for the next guy in line. Like, I mean, it is no joke. Like, they want you out of the closer role instantly if you give up, like, a run.
It's like college baseball.
Like,
get him out right away, yeah.
Oh, my God. So, watching that game last night, just real quick, I went to LSU. You all know that already.
Pitched at LSU.
So, we're watching this, and...
You never saw
sitting there. The screaming, because I told you, 11 walks the night before. Start... walking people again, you know, in this game. And I'm screaming. I'm just like, just throw it over the plate. Like, make them see if they can even hit. Like, you're not even seeing if they can hit the ball.
So I watched the beginning. I couldn't text you because I was watching all of that. Yeah. I was like, oh, God. I mean, what are you talking? It was like one or two big hits that basically brought in every run because of all the walks. And it was a 5-1. I was like, I'm sitting there kind of giggling to myself, like, oh boy, this is gonna be rough.
Well, you start to see, and granted, NIL has something to do with this as well, where kids will stay in school now because they can make money instead of just going straight to the bigs. But like, you look at LSU's pitching staff and you wonder, like, how do you have all these dudes throwing like mid to high 90s and they're not in the pros? Like, why didn't they go straight from high school? That's why.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They can't throw it over the plate. That's why. Like, I mean, granted, sure, they're probably racking up some dough anyway, and so it was just like they took a little less money to go to college and then up their stock and then maybe make more money or something. But it's just crazy that you're sitting there and it's like you're one thing, you're in college, and if you throw gas like that, you throw 96, 97, 98 in college, by and large, the really good hitters are going to get to you. But if you can throw it over the plate, like, you're probably going to have some pretty good success.
Right, right, right.
And they just can't throw it over the plate.
They just can't do it. Do you think we're going to see, I would assume yes, but I think one of the big stories, at least up until this point, and let's see what happens in the Super Regionals, but are some of the success, right, of these underdogs, mid-majors, that type of story. But we just spent all of this college basketball and NCAA tournament talking about how all of these bigger conference teams are just going with NIL deals, just going to absorb all of the talent from those mid-major ranks. You think the same thing's going to end up happening in college baseball?
What already? I mean, like, LSU's transfer class. Like, so if you go in and you look, and like, the reason this team is what it is, because they lost a lot of dudes over the last 2 years, but a lot of these dudes are
just
transfers.
Reloading.
Yeah, there's transfers. They're transferring in. They want to play at a bigger school. They want to play in a bigger program. They want to be on TV more often or at all. Because some of these kids, like, literally, they're never on TV, because college baseball is rarely on TV as it is anyway, unless you are on the ACC network or SEC network or whatever, something like that. So, yeah, I mean, it's all sports, especially in the South where baseball is big. They actually do spend NIL money, like down at LSU and, you know, Ole Miss and the Alabamas and stuff and things of the world, Texas and stuff like that. Like,
yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch, because this watch this one a little extra longer this year, because it might be the last time we get some of these teams. Yeah,
I mean, seriously, it very well could be. Guys, we're talking about the Belmont that is coming up. If you want to bet along with our experts here at the network, and of course all the guests that we'll have on between now and when this thing goes on Saturday, you can do that over at FirstBet, 1stbet.com. Go in, use the promo code VSiN200, and when you do, you will get up to a $200 sign-up bonus. So firstbet.com/VSIN, 1stbet.com/VSIN /VSIN VSIN200, your promo code for up to $200. Kelly, you can make the bets in the app, and then you can actually watch the races right there in the app as well. So instant gratification for you over at first
base. Which is like a really cool feature. I know we have that on some of the sportsbook apps, but in my experience...
But you don't want to watch a game on a little tiny
exactly
thing.
That. But when the horse races
it's
are...
It's over in two minutes or whatever.
Well, two things. That, and they're harder to find, yeah. Right? For most people, if you're at home, out and about or whatever, it's just harder to find a feed of that. So
you don't want to watch 3 hours on a tiny little screen like that or whatever. And don't get me wrong. Hey, sportsbooks, it's innovate, fine. It's great. Like,
And I've seen people do it.
Innovate, do all of that. I'm not telling you not to do it. But what I will say is it's far easier for me to watch on a tiny screen when it's only 2 minutes long. It's like, okay. And then you see whether you won or you lost, and then you move on.
Good call.
You just kind
of
go on.
Great stuff on the Illinois betting at the top of the show. We're getting a lot of positive reaction to that. I'm not going to go into all of the We Get tweets because some of them are quite political one side or the other.
Is there cursing involved?
It was a great little bit by you at the top, and I think important information for every bettor to know. If you're betting legally and betting legally in the United States, these are the things you need to be aware of in the political landscape.
Yeah, it's just stuff that kind of goes under the radar, and you know we have to amplify it because when we see it, we need to let everybody know. As we mentioned, Sabalenka advances, Iga advances in straight sets over on the women's side. We're in the middle of Musetti and Tiafoe right now. Musetti 6-2 in the first set, but they are battling here in the second set, 4-3 currently. Tiafoe looks like he's up a break if this is correct. Yeah, and then we have Paul Alcaraz a little bit later. We'll talk to Drew Dinsick and his thoughts on that one as well. So I said I had that baseball play in which I did bet the over there in Diamondbacks and Braves. If you go in and look, and like Zach Gallen, I know Zach Gallen has had a lot of success in baseball, but I mean, it's just this year, it's not happening so far. And that's not to say that he can't figure things out. He's certainly a talented dude, but if you look at the surface stats and they don't always tell the story, 5.54 ERA with a 1.4 whip, but then you go and you look at the expecteds and it's up there in the fours, right? He's just a 4 ERA guy right now. And the other problem that's kind of working against Gallen in all of this is his walk rate is up 2.5% from last year. His K rate is down 2.5% from last year, and his swinging strikes are down as well. And he's doing all of this, and these numbers are coming up while he's actually running on the right side of variance, because the BABIP against him right now, and that's batting average balls in play, is sitting at 280, where the league average is 300. So all of these bad stats, Kelly, are actually coming when he's actually running kind of on the right side of variance.
Yeah.
In this.
That's
so,
not good.
Yeah. So I think the 8.5 runs is a little shy here on Strider. Again, Strider, major injury, and maybe he picks it up over the course of the season as he works back into things and all of that, but it hasn't been pretty so far. His expecteds are high four. So we're talking like 4.82 xFIP, a 4.91 xERA. And the thing that we talked about, you know, with him is he was always a super high strikeout guy, which is how he got by on just kind of throwing the two pitches. Well, 28.6% K rate last year before he got injured. Before that, a ridiculously unsustainable 36% K rate the year before that, but down to 25% this year, swinging strikes down 4% off of his career average. That's a lot, by the way. That is a ton. So just for me, I think some runs can get scored in this game off of both of these dudes who are just not pitching very well right now. And this is just a weather play on the other one for me. Wind is blowing out like 13, 14 miles an hour in Sacramento. We've already seen that this is a hitter's park as it is anyway. Yeah. And now the weather's warming up and we get the wind blowing out 13, 14 miles an hour. I played the over 9.5 in that game versus the Twins. As of this morning, the A's had still not even announced who they were going to pitch in this thing, which is never great.
Yeah, and you know what? Because I was digging into that a little bit. I was thinking about tailing you on that one today. Be careful, because I think I saw one shop with a pitcher listed and then everybody else still said undecided. So yeah. I don't know what you make of it when you see that, but when it was only one shop and not multiple, you know, there's not a second one to corroborate it. That always makes me a little nervous.
Hey, if they don't want to tell me who's pitching, that's great, because that probably means it's someone that's not very good. So I'm okay with that when I'm just betting the runs here. So over there in that one. Just some other notes as you are betting baseball throughout the course of the day. It's rainy in Tampa Don't know if that could get postponed or not, but certainly might be delayed. So look at that. Chicago has some weather situations that are going on out there. Maybe a little bit in St. Louis as well, but looks like that's going to pass. Maybe they just start a little bit later there in St. Louis. Wind's blowing out in that stadium, actually 14, 15 miles an hour as well. Warming up in St. Louis, so we could see some runs there at Busch. So just keep that in mind as you are getting your card ready for today. If you want to tail or if you want to fade, of course, we're okay with any of that. When we come back, let's talk some hockey with the one, the only, Jake Hahn.